Well, good morning. It has been a journey and a half these past 4 months or so since the Lord put it on our hearts to come back to home. We are first off glad to be home, and secondly, we are glad to be in God's will. You know, that's more important, being in God's will, than it is being in your own will and in your home. God spoke to us. If you've watched any of our Facebook posts, you saw that Morgan and I were in separate locations, separate times. We were here for our daughter's second birthday party because all of my wife and I, our family is here. We came up to the bounce house place, and we're having the birthday party. And the next day, Pastor Mike York, who carried the torch so well for many, many years in this house, announced that the Lord is calling him to a different season. And in that moment, I'm like sitting in the second or third row near Jim and Nancy there, and I'm like trying to tune out the Holy Spirit. I'm like, no, Lord, no. And I get in the car after service. I have to go to Sarasota, and Morgan stays with my family for a few more days, and her family too. And the first hour of the trip between here and Adairsville, Georgia, before I could even hit the interstate, God had wrestled with my heart about coming back here. And so I tell you what, whenever you're wrestling with the Lord's will, just give in. It's so much better. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, if you've been with us these past couple of weeks, we've been doing a series called Pass the Torch. The torch has been passed from generation to generation, from pastor to pastor. And today we're going to carry the torch forward. So today's message, we're going to call it Forward with Fire. The past 2 weeks have been absolutely amazing to Morgan and I. This church family has bonded. Our families have bonded together. You've made our transition here so smooth. We are grateful for all of you church folks who have put time and effort into making this place, this facility, look better. Thank you. It did not go unnoticed. For those of you who cooked and prepared and gave financially, thank you, thank you, thank you. We are just overwhelmed by your generosity, your love, and your care for God's work in this place. So, thank you. But again, today we're talking about going forward with fire. Here's what we know about fire. Are you ready for a little basic chemistry? Okay, whatever. So, we know that fire is an element, when controlled, can be really, really good. For instance, how many of you have had a campfire this winter or this fall? I see one hand at the back, camp two, I see three. Oh my goodness, why didn't you invite us? We like s'mores. We know that fire in a good setting is good. For instance, you can be in a cold cabin somewhere, light the fire, you get warm from it. Controlled fire is great. But uncontrolled fire, we know, can wreak havoc. Have you heard about the California wildfires that have been going on? Check out this picture real quick. This used to be a cul-de-sac, you know, where people have their homes and they live. This is after fire came and totally demolished, just brought to ashes so many people's homes, their livelihood and stuff. You know, I think it wasn't just a few months ago that Gatlinburg had fires as well, right? Yeah. So, yeah, when was that? Oh, it has been a year or so. Okay. I remember now my sister called me, and I was in Sarasota. I was at the office. She said, have you seen what's going on in Gatlinburg? And I'm like, no, what's going on? And so I researched it, and I saw that in Gatlinburg, these wildfires had broken out, and it was threatening to go into people's homes, their cabins, and even downtown Gatlinburg. Now, most of us, if we did a survey, I wouldn't be scared to say that 95% of us have been to Gatlinburg. Can I have a mm-hmm? Or okay. So most of us have had great experiences there. We've had a great time. I remember from my dad's certain year birthday, we pulled a surprise party. Morgan, Addie, and I came from Spartanburg, South Carolina. We had a friend who has a cabin there in Gatlinburg. We get there, mom, dad, Christy, and her husband, Mike, they all meet us there. We do a surprise. It's like 10:30 at night. Dad's just about asleep. And so we all go to bed. But we have had some really incredible times there, just like many of you had. And to hear that this fire is coming and it's potentially going to destroy these homes, it makes you go, that's not good. That's sad. uncontrolled fire could be bad. But fire that is out of control isn't always bad. For instance, when somebody has the fire of God shut up inside of their being, God can use that fire within you to destroy the works of darkness, to bring down the strongholds of the enemy. And it can bring light to situations. It can bring light to the dark places in our lives. You see, in the Bible, God used the word fire over 500 times. Fire is an element that continually reoccurs throughout all of history. We see that fire is also used in some pretty cool transitions of leadership in the church and in the calling of God's ministers to his people. So let's think about this. We're doing the Pass the Torch series, and now let's look at the biblical context of why we're talking about fire and transitions. Have you heard of this guy by the name of Moses? When you think of fire plus Moses, what do you think of? The burning bush. Moses was in the desert. He didn't have much purpose in life other than shepherding sheep. He sees this bush up on a hill. He goes there. It's this fire that can't be consumed. The bush wasn't consumed. He gets to the fire, and God speaks to him. And that was his call to go and lead the nation of Israel. Have you ever heard of the Old Testament prophets Elijah and Elisha? Yeah, so Elijah was this really cool dude, very confident in God most of his life. He took on the hundreds of prophets of Baal who were threatening to say, yeah, your God's false. And Elijah's like, I don't think so. Meet me up on top of Mount Carmel. We're going to duke it out. And so these prophets of Baal light their offerings. They don't light it. They prepare their offering, the stones and the sacrifice. And they're waiting on their God to bring fire down, because whoever's God brings fire down and consumes the offering wins. It didn't happen, because we know that Elijah served the God, but the prophets of Baal serve a false God. And so Elijah builds his offering. He starts taunting them, like, maybe your God's asleep, you know, and stuff like that. The next thing we know, fire comes from heaven and boom, consumes the offering and even the water that was there. It was really cool. After God had his purpose for Elijah fulfilled, Elijah knew that it was time to tap somebody else. He had to pass on the torch. He had to pass the mantle. And so he finds this guy out plowing the fields. His name was Elisha, right? Well, we see Elisha just pursue Elijah. That's his spiritual father. He's going. He knows that he is going to train him to take his place to be the prophet to the nations. And so Elijah had served his time. It was time for him to go to heaven. We see that in 2 Kings, the transition happened like this. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11 says, then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. It's neat to see how God uses fire in transitions. Let me give you a couple more quickly here. John the Baptist, you heard of him, right? And he transitioned his ministry to Jesus, because we know John was the forerunner. He came in advance, and he prophesied this in Matthew 3. He told the people, I indeed baptize with you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to fasten. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We see that fire in the transition. One more for you. We know that Jesus himself said it was good that he, in his physical form, didn't stay on earth. It was better for him to go to the heaven so he could send the Holy Spirit, right? Check out this. When the Holy Spirit finally came into us as believers on the day of Pentecost, or 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, we see this scripture being fulfilled. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. There's just something about fire in transitions that makes them iconic, that makes them nostalgic, that makes it memorable. Let's bring it down to earth. Have you ever seen the torch carried for the Olympic Games? Yeah. So I found this article the other day. The next Olympic Games are going to be held in the spring of 2018 in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Now, this came straight from the Olympic website, and it refers to the Olympic torch relay. So check this out. In a key milestone, the Pyeongchang 2018 Olympic Organizing Committee unveiled its plans for the Olympic torch relay routes and selection of the torch bearers. Now, here's what's really neat. This is so cool because November 1st is about 8 days away or 9 days away. On November 1st, the initial beginning of the carrying of the torch is going to begin. It'll be the 100-day mark until the Olympics. The Olympic Committee chose to spend 100 days making its way around 17 cities and provinces across the Republic of Korea. Now check this out. And a total of 7,500 torch bearers will take part in the Olympic torch relay. That's a lot of passing of the torch, isn't it? Now, here's what's so neat. You all have been tricked. Have you ever heard of a bait and switch? You know, you're told one thing and then you get another. Well, this day is about me taking the torch from an amazing leader by the name of Pastor Mike York. But here's the trick. I'm not the only one getting the torch. You are. If you're visiting with us from another church, blah, blah, blah. I need a spot of tea. If you're visiting with us from another church, you can receive this as well. Take it to your church. Thank you for coming today. But if you feel the Lord calling you here, you got to know that not only am I getting the torch to go into our community, you are. You are a torch bearer for Christ. I believe that every person in this room can walk forward with fire by carrying the torch. Here's what we know about fire. And then I'm going to tell you three torches that we have to carry. We're going to get very specific. Here's what we know about fire. Fire has a genesis. It has a beginning. The torch that I got, I received from Pastor Mike. The torch that he got, he received from Brother Randy and four other men. Let's see if I can get it. Harper, Brother Harper, Foshi. Just say it, Brother B. Billy Garner. Richard Harper, Don Tucker, Mike Foshi, Randy Sims, Mike York, and myself. So we're the seventh generation of torch bearers. And what's so cool, the fire that's been happening in this house has been here for 40 years. 40 years. Happy birthday, Destiny Church family. We have, as everybody in here in this room, if we're new here, if we've been here for a little while or a long while, we have to recognize that there have been torchbearers before us, and we have to honor them. These past few weeks, it has been such a joy to see some of our church family from times past come and just take part of this celebration of passing the torch. We honor them. Here's a simple way to think about it. If somebody was at this church before you, let's honor them. There's always a beginning of fire. Ultimately, the fire of God comes to men and women who are willing, who are faithful torchbearers. For those of you who have been in this church for a long time or for a short season or who are about to start their season back into our church or starting at our church, we look to those who come before us and we say thank you. Thank you for pouring your time, your money, your resources, your prayers. Thank you for being vulnerable here at this church to carry the fire of God. We know that fire has a genesis. The second thing we know about fire, and I absolutely stole this from my wife so she can say it better than I can. Fire is a chemical reaction that destroys what it touches and can't be reversed. Let's take, for instance, one of the homes we saw earlier. Take a piece of wood from that, right? You're looking at this 2x4. Maybe it's 12 feet long or whatever. You can break it. You can saw it. It can be repaired, right? But if you burn it, you ain't going to repair it. It's forever changed. When the fire of God comes and consumes our hearts, we're changed. We're not just sorry for the sin that we did, sorry for messing up. We're not just broken because broken can't can be fixed in a bad way, but we're forever changed by the fire of God. The third thing we know about fire is that it is contagious when the elements are right. It takes a purposeful decision by you and me to move forward with the fire of God by carrying the torch. Because when we carry the torch in the darkness, others see it. And there are times when God's working on others' hearts, they're going to see your fire and they're going to follow you. They're going to come to you. They're going to say, hey, I want to be a torch bearer. So today, let me repeat what I'm saying. I believe that every single one of us in this room can walk forward with the fire of God by carrying these torches. I'm going to give you three of them. You ready? The first torch is this, the torch of the presence of Jesus. Now, if you're new to church, the presence of Jesus, you may be a little confusing. For instance, you may think, is it like a Christmas present? Is it a birthday present? That's not the kind of presence we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of presence where we're kind of here together. Like if my wife was in front of me, I would kind of lean over her and breathe hot air down her nostrils and she'd feel it and, you know, probably shake a little bit. It's that closeness, the feeling, the sensing, the spiritual awareness of Jesus. I believe in the physical, in the spiritual, and the soulish awareness of the presence of Jesus through the working of His Holy Spirit. God isn't deistic. He isn't just up in the sky. He's not the clockmaker in the sky where He created us and, oh, have at it, guys. See you later. No, He wants to be intimately involved in the affairs of your life. Look at Exodus 33, 13 through 15. Speaking of Moses, this is what he said. He's talking to God. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, can you say this? My presence. Say that with me. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up from here. That's the prayer of my life, my every day. That needs to be your prayer. God, if your presence isn't here, then Lord, what's going on? Change me. Let's fix this now. Now, that's the Old Testament. We know that the presence of God came in the tabernacle and the ark, but let's look at the New Testament. John 14, verses 15 through 17, Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate or another helper to help you and be with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit working in us today? Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to go to a box to get near the presence of Jesus. We can get close to Him because He is inside of us. We must continually be carriers of the torch of the presence of Jesus. The second torch I want to talk to you about is this, the torch of discipleship. I believe that Jesus Christ wants us to become more like Him every day. Say every day. Here's the deal. We are always on the journey of becoming more like Christ. 1 Peter 1:15 through 16 says this, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We know that being holy, we can't do it on our own. There's no way. But we know that being holy takes an intentional effort to lean on what Christ has done for us already. And we become more like Him through this discipleship concept. If you're not aware, we are what we like to call a triune being. You know, we have three parts. If you look at, where'd it go? Thessalonians 5:23, and the winner is, thank you. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul tells us that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live inside of a body. Our spirit, when we become born again, when we become torch bearers, we are made new. We have the righteousness of God, or we're now in right standing with God because of what Jesus did for us. Now, our soul, which is our mind, our will, our stinking thinking, our emotions and stuff, yeah, that takes a while to change. That's why after you gave your heart to Christ, a week into it, you messed up and sinned, and you're like, am I still a Christian? Oh, no. Do I need to get saved again? No, you need to repent, and we need to become more like Christ. We need to become holy like He is holy. You see, our language, our attitudes, our habits, our fleshly desires, these are things that take time for God to work inside of us and to change. Let me give you this example. Pastor Mike and Rebecca brought me a really cool, is it anaconda fish from the Nile River when you guys went on your missions trip? No? Another pastor friend of ours. You guys didn't go to the Nile? I am. Amazon. So, Amazon, South America. There we go. Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyways, somebody from that mission trip, it was Edgar and Christina. They brought me this anaconda on a plaque. And so what happened was they went to Brazil. Piranha. Anaconda's a snake, isn't it? Piranha, yeah. They brought me a, yeah. Maybe I should have drank coffee this morning. Okay. So, a piranha on a stick, sort of. Anyways, you guys went to Brazil, and in Brazil, they speak Portuguese. So, let's pretend for a minute. We want to learn to become Portuguese. So, we pack our bags, we get our visas, we go to Brazil. Are we Portuguese? No. You get your address, you become an official Portuguesian or a Brazilian. And are you Portuguese? Yeah. Okay, so you're an official citizen. Does that mean you speak the language? No. Does that mean you know the customs? No. Does that mean you're going to embarrass yourself probably? Yeah. So what happens is when you need to become like a Brazilian, you need to learn to speak the language and do all the stuff, you have to learn by immersion. You just kind of get thrown into it. And you have to listen to what other Brazilians are saying. How do they pronounce that word again? You have to learn your no-nos and your, oh yeah, you might want to do that, your customs and your culture and your norms. In order to become Brazilian, you have to be immersed with Brazilians, right? So in discipleship, it's sort of the same. You don't just become a disciple overnight. It's an everyday process. That's why we need to establish in our daily routine some time to spend with the Lord in prayer, in the Word, in these ways. And He is so gracious because we're going to not always be perfect. Occasionally, our torch, the flame up on our torch, it may fizzle a little bit, but just start where you are and let that fire start right back up. So there's two torches we got to carry so far, the torch of the presence of Jesus, the torch of discipleship, and the third one is this, the torch of praying the Word. It's important to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this food. We love you. We bless your name. Amen. That's awesome. God loves that. But it's really powerful when we spend time praying His Word to Him. Now, during these past few months of transition, I have grown, I would say, from what I can observe, the biggest area of discipleship that I've grown in is my prayer. I know you may think, okay, well, you've been a pastor for a long time. Don't you pray? I do, but I've really had to grow in it here lately because when you get to levels of transition in your life, it's just good to pray. One of my spiritual mentors, he texted me when he heard about this transition. He said, here's a challenge for you. Every morning when you go into work, go pray for 1 hour. Pray 30 minutes for the Tabernacle Church in Sarasota and pray 30 minutes for the Destiny Church here. That kept me sane because the transitions, leaving one place, coming to another, it couldn't have been done on my own might. I just ain't that smart. But it took the power of praying God's Word. Before God called us to come here, God gave Morgan and I a certain scripture that I'm going to read to you in a minute from Isaiah 54. He gave that to us, and I started praying it and declaring it over my family. And so we call it the heritage of the Lord to the Goss family. I want you to read this, or you can follow along. I'll read it to you. Check this out. It's in Isaiah 54, verse 13 through 17. Let me make sure. All your children will be taught by the Lord. and great will be their peace. In righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to wreak havoc. Many of you know this one. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Let's look at the scripture a little bit deeper here. As a new father, I really, really want my children to be taught by the Lord. You know why? Because Morgan and I are going to mess up. We need Jesus to be the underlying teacher through us and through others to teach her. Great will be our children's peace. If you have children, just claim that. In righteousness, you will be established. I don't know about you, but I don't want the Goss name to be established in our own works. I don't want the Goss family to be established in how nice they are or how smart that pretty doctor wife is of hers. We don't want to be established in nothing but the righteousness of God. Tyranny will be far from us. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be removed. We prayed against the night terrors our little Addie was having. That's scriptural. We can pray against nightmares, night terrors. Let's get real. I like how God is real with us. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Some of you who feel like you're being punished by God or attacked by Him, that's not our Father. That's not God. Sometimes it's our choices. Sometimes it's the plan of Satan. Sometimes it's life. But God's not going to attack you. It won't be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. This is fun. See, it is I who created the blacksmith who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. Now you may think, but David, you know, the scripture, God just said He's not going to attack me. Oh, that weapon's not meant for you. That weapon is meant for your enemy to destroy him. God is fanning into flame the coals to make this weapon that you are going to use to overcome whatever it is that's holding you back. It is I who have created the destroyer to wreak havoc. Remember, the fire of God within us will wreak havoc on our enemies. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is your heritage. This is your heritage. Now, remember how I told you the Lord told me that before He called us here? I want you to read this with me in the Amplified Version. I read this week, and I'm like, oh, you're good, God. You're good. Check this out. And all your spiritual sons will be disciples of the Lord, and great will be the well-being of your sons. You will be firmly established in righteousness. You will be far from even the thought of oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. If anyone fiercely attacks you, it will not be from me. Whoever attacks you will fall because of you. Listen carefully. I have created the smith who blows on the fire of coals and who produces a weapon suitable for its task, a weapon for its purpose, and I've created the destroyer to inflict ruin. The fire of God inside of you, the weapon of God, is going to defeat the works of the enemy. No weapon formed against you will succeed, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. This peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me. Verse 13, this just spoke to me because I am a kid. I am only in my young 30s. We'll stick with young 30s. But for some reason, God has equipped, enabled, and prepared me to be the spiritual father of this house. If you choose to stay under this pulpit, this teaching, this prayer time, you're my spiritual son and daughter. Look what the scripture says about this. And all your spiritual sons will be disciples of the Lord, and great will be your well-being. This is the heritage of the Lord at this house. So check this out. Today, I believe that every single one of us can walk forward with the fire of God by carrying the torch of the presence of Jesus, the torch of discipleship, and the torch of praying the word. Here's what I want to invite you to do. We're going to take a minute, and I wrote some stuff down here. If you receive this, I want you to pray this after me. I'm going to read this to you first, and then we'll declare it together. I will carry the torch that burns brighter every day with the love of God, the presence of Jesus, the passion of discipleship, and the power of praying the word. I will allow God to use me to wreak havoc on the kingdom of darkness. Somebody say amen. I reckon. That's good. I will move forward with fire by carrying the torch. From this pulpit today, I challenge you with this prayer. If you believe that with me, I want you to take a moment, if you can. I want you to stand up. And then I want you to declare this. Don't just, well, blah, blah, blah. I want you to mean it, because this is from the Holy Spirit to you today. Say this to me. I will carry the torch that burns brighter every day with the love of God, the presence of Jesus, the passion of discipleship, the power of praying the word. I will allow God to use me to wreak havoc on the kingdom of darkness. I will move forward with fire. I will move forward with fire by carrying the torch. Come on, if you mean it, let's give a quick clap to Jesus this morning. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Let's pray for a minute. Will you close your eyes? Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us this heritage. We will carry on the love of God, the presence of Jesus, the passion of discipleship, the power of praying the word. Father, I pray for everyone who calls this house home. I pray that they will receive this heritage. This is your word, Lord. This is you talking to us today. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that from your heart to their heart, it will be infused. It will be welded into their thinking processes, into their attitudes, into their behaviors. Lord, we receive this heritage. We receive it today. We receive it, Lord. No weapon formed against your people will prosper. We will do your will, God. We will go against the gates of hell. We will stand against the darkness. We will declare that the fire of God will move forward in this house. We'll move forward in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this. Jesus, we want more of your fire. We want more of your fire. With your eyes closed, if you want more of your fire, will you just lift up your hands to heaven? Just wave at God and say, here I am, Lord. I want that. Here we are, Jesus. We want more of your fire today. Consume our souls. Consume our thoughts. Take our hearts, Lord. We want more of your fire today. Oh, we welcome you, Jesus. We invite you. We invite you into this place right now, Lord. You have sent your word, Lord, and we receive it. We hear it, God. Yeah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. For those of you who are feeling just that presence of Jesus tapping your heart right now, and you haven't felt that in a long time, I want you to respond to God. I want you to talk to him in this place right now. You can talk under your breath. He still hears you. Jesus, we welcome your presence in this place. God, I know that you love every single person in this room. God, I know that there are people who don't even know you. They haven't even picked up a torch with the fire. They haven't received you as their Savior. They've heard of you, but they haven't experienced you. God, I pray that you will search them out today. Yes, Jesus. If you're in this place and you don't know the forgiving and leading power of God, God wants to invite you right now to be a torchbearer. He wants to invite you to forget your sins of your past. He wants to invite you to walk in the light of purpose, of direction. He has great things for you. If that's you, if that's you and you're responding to the call of God in your heart, I just want you to look at me and wave at me. Yes. Yes, Lord, we receive your fire. Some of you have let the fire dwindle a little. Circumstances, hurts, whatever. Light the fire brighter today.